This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Yeah, we haven't really had sports the last couple days. I mean, we've had moments happening, but we haven't had games. I'm excited for Week 10 to start of the NFL. And with that, we say good morning to Chris Canty. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. That means to say you're fired up about Colts-Titans?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good football game. Okay. It's a meaningful football game. I'm not watching Jaguars and some schlubs from the AFC. It's two teams that are fighting for wild card or playoff spots or division.
I thought you'd be more excited about what seems like an eventuality, which is Trevor Bauer joining the Mets pitching staff, fresh off of the Cy Young Award.
Hang on,
I thought you'd be more excited about that.
Well, I am,
because that seems like that's going
to
happen.
Let's say good morning to Rick, and then let's please do a deep dive into that. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
First of all, Canty, don't sleep on Jake Luton, all right, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Secondly.
Wait a minute. I told you guys not to sleep on Luton.
I'm sleeping right through Luton.
I'm not sleeping on Jimmy Luton. I'm not going to do it.
Right through the snooze and everything. I want
Neutron?
No part of Luton.
Jimmy Neutron. I'm not sleeping on him. Plus, this is going to decide the AFC South tonight. You know, that vaunted AFC South.
Come on, you agree this is a big game tonight.
Well, yeah, I got the Masters is delayed. That's all we got. Yeah, right. That's all we got. That's all we have tonight, so I'll be watching. Also, show will. Alert. Can I get a caw-caw, please? Show alert.
Right off
guys.
The bat, it's not even 9.
Caw-caw, caw-caw.
Show alert for both of you. The Undoing on HBO.
Wait, what is really? It? You use caw-caws for
is
shows
that a
you enjoy watching
Nicole Kidman
now?
Vehicle?
That is a Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman vehicle.
Okay.
I think and the caw-caw has gone completely off the rails, by the way.
What do you mean?
I mean, that you're people, using people a caw-caw? Listen, but you could just say, guys, I really enjoyed the show. How is that breaking?
Well, because, I mean, we're limited on sports here, so people need shows to watch. Just because
I'm
you don't want to participate.
In your analysis of a new show, but caw-caw worthy seems a bit.
Oh, I'm not gonna analyze the show till you guys watch it. There's only three episodes.
What's the name of this show?
The Undoing.
The Undoing. Can you give me a? I'm writing this down. The Undoing. Can you give me a brief synopsis, like just what this is about?
Nicole Kidman and her husband Hugh Grant, mm-hmm. wealthy, live in the city. They have a woman that joins the auction committee, and it turns out, I'm not going to ruin it, but she ends up dead, and then we can try to figure out who did it.
Oh, it's a whodunit.
Oh, whodunit, baby.
Oh, you sound like Kramer.
And it takes you all over the place.
Really?
First episode, you think it's this person. Second episode, you think it's that person. Third episode, you think it's another person. Huh. Craziness.
All right. Give it a little
Yeah, The Undoing is not what Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau are going to do for the Knicks. That's not a
No, it's what it, it's the story of Brody Van Wagenen, what he did
yes.
in Mets.
The Undoing.
That's
of
what
the
I thought. I thought we could see fluid right to the top when I watched this show. A lot of water. Heavily liquefied show.
Give me another caw-caw too, Santy, please.
Oh,
one
geez.
More.
Caw-caw, caw-caw.
This is abusive.
I'm making an announcement. There is not a harder working show in sports talk radio than this show. We are the New England Patriots of sports talk radio.
Well, what happened that you say that?
Well, no days off.
Mm.
You see Keyshawn another day off today. We don't take, if you really think about it, I mean, the fact that we don't really, unless they force us to take days off, we don't take days off. And on top of it, you work on Saturday, and Canty works on Sunday. So combined as a show, it's 7 days a week, baby.
Oh, that's right.
No days off.
And I've just committed to
But do we really need a whole lot of days off? We're talking about sports.
Yeah, but people get days off. Like he just said, Keyshawn is off again today. Jay Williams is off that show all the time. We're never off.
I'm not going to speak to anybody else's business, Dave, but talking about sports is a hell of a lot easier than what I used to do for a living.
That's a good point. And I got to turn the TV on, and I got Bart dressed up like one of the Bee Gees wearing his medallion.
Wow.
Talking about chest hair. Talking about crazy cool medallions.
Needless to say, you haven't been paid from Bart Scott, correct?
Yeah, I haven't been paid from him. Yeah. But I'm going to stop talking about it, Dave. I'm just going to leave it alone.
Really?
Bring me my money.
I'm going to stop talking about it.
Interesting.
You know who got his money? Marcus Stroman got his money.
Marcus Stroman, ooh. And that's where we're going to start today. And let's open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. You know, in years past, guys, we would have looked at this move and said, all right, the Mets offseason is now done. $18.9 million, 1 year Marcus Stroman. You know what? He'll slot in as their number two starter. We'll hope to God that we can sign someone that'll be a three. We'll throw Peterson in there as the four. Maybe Lugo is a starter as well. Not anymore. This is the tip of the iceberg now, Rick. This is the beginning stages of what this team is going to look like. And Chris started the show discussing Trevor Bauer And I think it's a realistic possibility. And I cannot tell you how excited I am. And Stroman, just the first of many pieces with this team, Rick. The first of many, I hope.
Yeah, see, this is the issue with the Wilpons, right? You can't make decisions that are in the best interest of your organization because you're afraid. Like, they would have been afraid to offer Stroman the 18-9, knowing under these circumstances that he probably takes it. And if he takes it, I mean, do you really want to be paying? Like, if you were hoping to sign Trevor Bauer, can you afford to pay Marcus Stroman $18.9 million?
The old Mets wouldn't have been able to.
No, exactly right, to be your third or fourth star. So you probably don't offer him the qualifying offer. To get
and then
the
you lose him for nothing.
Exactly right. But we can afford to do that because Steve Cohen said that we're going to actually function like a big market team, which means we're going to be up, you know, around $200 million with the payroll. So we got money to spend. We got money to spend, and we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm confident about that.
Yeah, but I feel like you're going to spend it in a smart way. I mean, you're not just throwing good money after guys that are past their prime. You're going after a 29-year-old pitcher that just won the Cy Young and had a 1.73 ERA. And you're going to be able to pair him with the guy that won the NL Cy Young the 2 years prior in Jacob DeGrom. So, I mean that's as formidable as a 1-2 punch as anybody in baseball.
Yeah,
at some point you might get Noah Syndergaard back this season.
Hmm. Yeah, but see, you know, there was no chance in the past that the Mets would ever consider having
none.
Three starting
oh,
pitchers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this wasn't going to be a possibility under the Wilpons. It
no
wasn't going to happen. But the fact that Sandy Alderson is going on local radio shows and talking about how Trevor Bauer's personality will play great in New York, that just gives you some insight into what he's thinking. Like, he's absolutely thinking, like, this could be one of those guys that could help us make a huge splash and get the Steve Cohen era of the Mets on the road in a big way just to get things started out. Like, this could be – I mean, Rick, you talked about it. There are a lot of pieces on this team that are in place, and if you just add – a couple of guys here and there, you could be talking about the Mets being a playoff team in 2021 in Steve Cohen's first year.
Yeah, they've been, I mean.
That's not far-fetched to me.
No,
it's
not.
And the thing that I like about it is it doesn't hamstring you from building for the future as well.
No.
No, because, you have good young players. You do. And now you have the opportunity in a couple key areas. And, Dave, we used to have these conversations. I mean, we've been dying for a legitimate center fielder. When Lorenzo Cain was a free agent, we said he would be a perfect fit for the Mets. They decided not to do it, right? But here's one of those situations where, I mean, we need another starting pitcher. Bauer's in the market. Again, Chris, you mentioned it. Last three Cy Young winners in the National League could be on your team.
Yes.
With DeGrom and Bauer.
Yes.
You need a center fielder. You got Springer available. You could, if you want to spend the money for Realmuto, I don't know if he wants to be here or not, you could do that. Address the catching position. You can try to trade for Lindor. You talk about one of the better players in baseball. Lindor's right up at the top of that list.
Yeah, and then he's the face of your franchise moving forward.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
a real possibility.
The thing is, in the past, it would have been Stroman, and then they would have given this whole song and dance of, well, guys, that's $19 million, and our payroll's at, 187, and I'm making up a number, and we feel pretty good about this team. Right? That would have been the past song and dance. And you know what? I feel pretty good about this team, and Syndergaard's going to come back in July, and now all of a sudden he's our two starter, and we have a lot of depth, and Lugo's going to be a starter, and Peterson was so good, and look at this team. We are excellent. And because you were so desperate, Rick, you would buy into it. You'd be like, well, I wish they would go after somebody else, but that's not what we're able to do. And he's right. If Syndergaard comes back, and if Lugo's good in the rotation, and all of a sudden you'd start to try and convince yourself, you don't need to do that anymore. This is, it's a nice first move, but that's what this is. This is going to be the first of, and I firmly believe it, many positive moves this offseason for this organization.
Yeah, deep down, Sandy Alderson, did he wish that Marcus Stroman maybe decided to decline the qualifying offer? Probably, but he didn't. And it's not going to hamstring them from spending more money because of who owns the team now.
I'm actually glad he accepted it. Are you not?
Talent-wise, I'm glad he did. But as far as some of his, I don't love his antics.
I agree with that. And opting out the way he did and some of the stuff he said. But here's the point. Selfishly.
You're mad at him for opting out, Dave?
The way he did it, yeah, I don't love the way he did it.
No, I don't love the way he did it, but I'm not upset at him for playing a couple of games this season, pitching a couple of games this season, and then being able to get his service time so he could become a free agent this year. I'm not mad at that.
Because
if he decides to opt out before the season even starts, he's not going to get his service time.
Well, fine. But he took advantage of the system is what he did.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't like the fact that he left his team when they needed him. You know, when you had all of the injuries to the pitching staff and you had to pull Lugo out of the bullpen in order to become a starter just because you didn't have enough arms in the rotation. Like, I feel like that was a little bit shady. So I wonder how that dynamic works when he gets back into the clubhouse, because he feels like he bailed on his teammates when they needed him. But, I mean, if you're talking about Stroman being your third or fourth pitcher, that's a lot of money to pay your third or fourth pitcher. But, I mean, you actually like the quality that you're talking about. Like, if he's your middle-of-the-rotation guy, that's pretty good. You could do a lot worse than Marcus Stroman as the middle-of-the-rotation type of pitcher.
And he has a lot to prove. I mean, if he could have gone out and gotten a 5-year, $150 million deal, he wouldn't be a member of the Mets. So he knows that this is a very important year for him. He needs to go out and produce. And you're right, there could be issues with teammates, but pitcher's a guy typically on an island. And if he goes out and he has a good season, he's going to get a big payday at the end of this thing. So, yes, do I have some reservations? I do. But I think it's important for him selfishly to go out and pitch well. And I think that he will. And I think you're right. See, you put him in as your two starter, Chris, and you're like, all right, do I trust him as my two starter? No. He's my three or maybe even my four. Do I trust that? I love that. If you're telling me I'm going to have, and you said it, DeGrom locked in, hopefully Bauer, and then Stroman, Peterson, Lugo in whatever order you want to put, that's a hell of a rotation right there.
It's a hell of a rotation. And Dave, that whole Trevor Bauer thing, man, it seems like the stars are aligning for the Mets, because this is a guy that's putting emphasis on baseball being an entertainment product. Like, he's saying he's all in on baseball being entertainment. I mean, if you want to entertain in this country, especially when it comes to sports, there's two places. There's L.A. and there's New York. And it just feels like it's a perfect fit for the Mets and what Steve Cohen wants to be. Like, you know, people were talking about Trevor Bauer a couple of years ago with the Yankees and him potentially being traded from Cleveland. And I thought to myself, Trevor Bauer feels a lot more like a Mets type of dude than he does a Yankees type of dude. And the fact that you have the potential to get this guy coming off of a Cy Young, I mean, that's going to be huge, man. To me, Trevor Bauer and George Springer, you get those two guys and then maybe a James McCann as your catcher, you're talking about the Mets being a playoff team in 2021.
Yes. Yes. So if you can build the infrastructure, improve the minor leagues, and be a playoff team right off the bat, that's exactly what you're looking to do. That's the
and
Dodgers
that's the Dodgers model.
Yeah,
that's the Dodgers model. That's exactly what they did. They spent a bunch of money when they purchased the team in 2012, and now they're a squad that's under the luxury tax threshold, but they just won a World Series. That's what you want to evolve into. So Rick said it yesterday. Like, this is the question is out there of whether or not Steve Cohen is going to be willing to spend as much as he needs to spend right now. You know, because you might not necessarily see the returns on that money immediately. But to me, I would say this, man, like that value that you're putting into the club right now, you're going to realize that down the road. That's not going away. It's just going to take some time in order for things to get turned around. And he's got just enough money to do it because he's the wealthiest owner in the sport.
Yeah, and he's just buying the team now. So, I mean, he didn't deal with the losses of this pandemic season. Like, I mean, there'll be losses just with how poorly run the Mets were. But, I mean, this is it as far as what he's going to be competing against, too. I mean, I think the reason we feel so good about Trevor Bauer is, I mean, who else out there is going to be able to offer Trevor Bauer the money that Steve Cohen is?
Not a lot. Well, first, the Yankees, there's no way they would. Can't imagine the Dodgers making a play for him. And when you look at that rotation, and then where else is he going to go? I mean, this is a guy that seems like he wants the big stage. So where is he going to go? If the Yankees are off the table and Dodgers are not going to happen, and the Mets have the money, and the Mets have a need, and I hate to do this, but, I mean, it feels like maybe we're moving in that direction, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, for Sandy Alderson to say what he did about Trevor Bauer, I mean, clearly this is somebody that he's targeting. No, he can't. I mean, until they hire a GM/president of baseball operations that's going to be, you know, the one that ultimately makes these decisions, I mean, it's not going to be a fast-moving market anyway. So, I mean, as soon as they get that piece done, I would imagine that the first order of business is going to be Trevor Bauer.
Rico, who do you think the GM for the Mets is going to be?
Listen, if you want to include Lindor in the deal, I'll take Antonetti today. Give me both.
And Buster told us what an up-and-coming. I mean, he's the future of baseball. He's one of the great young minds.
So fire up the private jet and pick both of them up in Cleveland.
I'll take both.
What you said. All right.
You're going to get three guys. I think you're going to wind up with, of the Bauer, Lindor, Realmuto, Springer. If you want to throw Arenado, I think you're going to wind up with three more big moves this offseason from the Mets.
See, and the Arenado thing is interesting to me, Dave, because I was listening to Jeff Passan yesterday on the K-Show, and he was making a point about how Steve Cohen made his money with .72. He made it looking for irregularities in the market. And based on the economics of the sport right now, there are a lot of teams that are going to be looking to get from up under huge contracts. And that could represent value, and it could represent the right way to utilize Steve Cohen's money in order to build a championship contending team. Like, to me, that would be incredible if you're able to pull off a move like that. Because Colorado wants to get rid of that salary, just have the opportunity to be able to get him for next to nothing. Similar to kind of what the Yankees did with Giancarlo Stanton.
Just with your fingers crossed that deal turns out a lot better than the Stanton deal did.
How could it
Arenado, I think he's a more well-rounded baseball player than Giancarlo Stanton. I don't even think that's a debate.
No.
No, he's won the Gold Glove every year he's played.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
he's won his fourth Platinum Glove.
In almost anonymity in Colorado.
That's how good this guy is.
He's great.
And I'm telling you, when I listened to him when they did the Gold Glove presentations, he was non-committal about playing on Colorado.
The timing of that was great. They did it right during the presidential election. Really, really well done.
He seems like he has no interest in being Colorado. He wants to go on a team that's going to compete.
Of course.
And the Mets will compete.
Don't you think the Mets went from, in the free agent's mind, nah, I don't really want any part to, that's where I want to go?
Yeah, because you know you got an owner that's going to spend money, Dave. Like, your team is not going to be undermined by an owner that is focused on the bottom line. You got an owner that's a super fan that has $14 billion that just bought the team for $2.4. Yeah, of course you want to go there because you recognize all the different possibilities that are going to be available to your club just because you have the financial resources in a time where a lot of teams don't. Like, that's the beauty of a team like the Yankees. Kay and the guys were making this point on their show yesterday. Like, you have so many other possibilities that are afforded to you just because you have a bunch of money and you're in the largest market in the country. So now that you have an owner with the Mets that's willing to do that, I mean, it's just you're always going to have an opportunity to be a contender just because you're always going to have the option to be able to infuse the roster with talent. Like, all of the big-name guys, and you've talked about this a million times, Dave, all of the big-name guys around the sport that become available either through free agency or trade, you're going to have a chance to be in on those dudes just because you know you're not going to be limited financially. Sandy Alderson said it. He's like, we can actually focus on the talent and not worry about the cost.
Right. And you can make a mistake. Like, you could have a Jacoby Ellsbury and just fight right through it and be fine. Where in the past, you
but you already have one of those. You already have one of those. You have Robinson Cano. You're already dealing with one of those.
We have our own Jacoby Ellsbury.
That is an albatross. You're in,
I don't want to call it identical, but you're in a very similar situation to what the Clippers were in when Steve Ballmer bought them. And now look at them.
It's a pretty good situation.
Well, they're a destination now.
Yeah. It's where you want to go. And they were the laughing stock of the NBA for a long time.
For a long time. And now that's a real option. Like, if you want to go play in LA, it's not just the Lakers anymore.
Right. You hear rumblings of Chris Paul wanting to wind up there now.
Yeah, because I mean they're close to winning a championship.
Yeah. I still can't believe this
is still the Lakers though, Dave. Still the Lakers.
I agree with you. But I still can't believe this has happened. Like, every time I think about it, I'm like, how did this go? This, we were from the outhouse to the penthouse like that.
Yeah, this is quicker than the Jeffersons.
Right? This dry cleaning business really is working for us.
You guys aren't going to be used to what's going to happen in Flushing.
We might turn to you to help us, like, make sense of it. as like a muse for us of what's going to potentially happen here for the Mets.
Like, how are you supposed to feel going into a season knowing that your team is...
We just saw, like, last year, you get Garrett Cole, you're like, that's what you expect. If we get Trevor Bauer, we're not going to know how to react. We're going to turn to you and be like, Chris, help us. Lead us to how our emotions are supposed to be.
Oh, you're going to be ecstatic, Dave. You're going to be excited. You're not going to be able to control your emotions. Because you're going to feel like when you sign Trevor Bauer, like, this guy is going to help us and help Steve Cohen in the next 3 to 5 years compete for a championship. That's
so
how
you
you're
firmly believe that Trevor Bauer will be a Met?
Yes. I would be surprised if Trevor Bauer is not a Met. At this point, the way that things seem like they're trending, I would be surprised if he's not a Met.
Wow.
Because what he's looking for and what the Mets need is just a perfect match, Dave. Listen, there is no better place to play than New York if you're winning and if you're a good player. Like, this guy is coming off of a Cy Young, super confident. He's not afraid to tell people about it.
Oh, no.
More importantly, he wants the spotlight because he wants to be entertaining. That's what he's after. Now, he knows it comes down to, you know, throwing the baseball well, but Trevor Bauer wants all the good things that come along with being able to perform at that level. Can you imagine a place where you can get that more than New York?
Nope.
You can't?
No, and I think the spotlight's going to be firmly on the Mets this year. They're not going to be the second banana anymore. They're going to be, it's going to be a, I really think it's going to be a 1-1A now in New York baseball.
Yeah, that's risky to be the second banana. You always want to
be. That's getting aggressive.
Yeah, of course it is. Let's go to the phones. 800-919-3776. We lead off with the Mets. We'll get into the Knicks and what they're going to potentially do. And, of course, the Giants with a big game on Sunday. We'll get into that as well. And today's Thursday, so correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but today's a CMT day, yes?
Today is a full-on CMT, yes.
A full-on CMT. All right, let's go to Bill in Jersey. Bill, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, I just wanted to say one thing here. You know, these free agents that they signed, it's really important for the Mets, I believe, to get a general manager that has a sixth sense about talent. You know, I mean, I noticed with the Yankees, they spend a lot of money, but then they're able to pull guys like Luke Voit out of the air or Ford or guys like that that don't cost a lot that wind up becoming productive and, you know, with their team. And, I think it's important. And I just had a question for you guys. Is Bauer going to stay with that one-year contract, or is he looking for a multi-year package now?
I've always heard that he wants just to continue to play off of one-year contracts. Now, whether
that changes, that's a one-year proven. I mean, if he blows,
yeah, but he wants a crazy number though. The thing is, he wants, if he's going to do a one-year,
yeah, he probably wants $40 million for 1 year.
Yeah,
well,
he wants to be paid more than
Garrett Cole. Give him 1 year, and then guess what? If the personality don't mesh in New York, we'll know it right away, and then he's out the door. So I think that's a good deal.
I don't think it's crazy. I would consider it. Thanks for the call, Bill. You wouldn't give him 1 year and $40 million.
No, I would probably give him 1 year, $40 million. Yeah.
All right, and then you know what? If it's awful, and I can't imagine it would be, if it's awful, if the personality doesn't mesh, if he's a problem, if there's an issue, all right, you know what? It was a good try. Didn't work. We move on.
Yeah, depending on, here's the thing though. Depending on what other moves you want to make, and how much money he really wants to spend. Like I don't know the inner workings of this. How much of this, you know, him getting the vote to own the team was tied into him not all of a sudden just blowing up the market.
Spending $280 exactly. million dollars on payroll.
Well, that's the biggest fear for a lot of these owners, is that it only takes one guy to throw things out of whack.
Totally.
That's why everyone loves salary caps. Because there's that one owner that doesn't care. There's that one Steve Cohen that just wants to win championships and will pay whatever it takes to do that. Can you imagine how much money Jerry Jones would spend if there was no salary cap?
He'd spend it all.
Especially now. Like he's as Kay likes to say, he's not buying green bananas.
No. Well, he's got to be well into his 70s at this point.
He wants this now. So
of course he does.
I mean, I think that Bauer, it's going to depend on fit, right? Like if New York's someplace he wants to be and he would like the security of a long-term deal, the Mets will offer him it.
I think you do whatever it takes if you're the Mets. If he wants 4 years at whatever, you do that. If he wants 1 year at a monster number, you do that. I mean, I don't think either way is opposed to what you're thinking now if you're the Mets.
You give him a multi-year deal with a number that he can't refuse. I think that's the way you go. So it gives you time to build out the rest of the team, you know, because you got to think it's going to be a couple of years until you're at that level where you can compete with the likes of the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Braves and all those types of teams. It's going to be a couple of years. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it right out of the gate. I think it's going to take a couple of years. But, I mean, this team is not far off.
But this can be a playoff team. If you have DeGrom, Bauer, Stroman, Lugo, Syndergaard at some point, that's a playoff team.
I would love to put Lugo back in the bullpen.
Yes,
but,
me too.
But here's the thing, Dave. I said it. I said if you get Trevor Bauer and George Springer and James McCann, you're a playoff team in 2021. I don't know that you're a title contender in 2021. That was my point.
I agree with you. Yeah, no.
I was just saying, a couple of years.
But if the Mets fan year one, I mean, this team doesn't go to the playoffs, Chris, right? Like once every decade now, they're a playoff caliber team. If you go to the playoffs in year one of in essence, a rebuild of the organization. Could you imagine the excitement with the fan base?
Oh, the fans would be ecstatic, Dave. They'd be ecstatic. I mean, yeah, it's been, what, 4 years since the Mets have been in the playoffs?
Yeah, 2016. Then they went in 2015. And before that, it's been a long time.
Yeah, so I think you're talking about them being a playoff team if they make the moves that we're anticipating they're going to make at the start of free agency, whenever things get rocking and rolling.
If the Mets made the moves that you just mentioned, I would have a hard time betting against the Mets in any playoff series.
Hmm.
And I don't care who that team is. With that starting rotation, when you actually dig into the numbers, what they did offensively this season, and you add a Springer to that, and maybe a Lindor.
And all Bauer wants to do is pitch.
A lot.
He said, I'll pitch on 3 days rest.
Hey, no, if he wants to pitch every fourth day, yeah, that's what he's saying. It's like I carried away. I don't need him blowing his arm out. Like, let's relax.
Yeah, right, right.
I'll take he's great every fifth day. Yeah, he is.
Very
he's like
much
the
so.
He's like the Bryson DeChambeau of Major League Baseball.
Oh, you're all golf, aren't you?
I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
Won't stop raining.
Pouring there in Augusta, though.
It's pouring.
Pouring. Which is good for you, because now there's no golf right now, and then when we're done with the show, it'll probably clear up, and you'll settle in.
Yeah, but that kicks right into my nap time with Rocco.
Mm. Are you going to have some egg salad over the next couple days?
Why would I have egg salad?
Isn't that the staple of the Masters?
Pimento cheese sandwiches.
I thought egg salad was a big deal.
Egg salad could be. I know they're known for the pimento cheese sandwiches.
Yeah. It costs like nothing, right? They charge...
That's like two. It's like $2.
Yeah.
I guess the Ricky Fowler sneaky tip is you get a pimento cheese sandwich and you get the club sandwich and you take the meat off the club sandwich and put it in the pimento cheese sandwich.
That sounds like RJ Bell's kind of tip.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, and by the way, talk about embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, RJ I don't know Bell. If you want to take any RJ Bell tips right now.
I mean, what? Let's take the Jets under?
I mean, which is a stretch to begin with, because what he's supposed to do is take a game. So then he takes some Fugazi team total because he's desperate. And he loses in the first half.
Which is what makes him dangerous. You get desperate, now you're dangerous.
But I mean,
you start costing me money.
I mean, he takes the Jets and the under, and they're throwing bomb touchdowns. Rashad Perryman is wide open. They're running
half.
The ball like you've never seen.
It was over in the first half.
Yeah, you could have gone to bed at halftime a winner if you took the over of the Jets.
He's going to get destroyed today. Like, Kay is just, he's furious.
And I don't blame him. Because RJ, you know what, he's a blamer, and he's done with this with Chris, and I've defended you greatly, Chris, and that is,
Chris gives
me awful choices, and it's just not right, and it's just not fair. He, on his own, is 2-7 on our show and picking games through 9 weeks this year.
Yeah, he's 2-7, and he's 1-8 with C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, you can't make that up.
No, that's awful.
And he's on a
losing streak
with the K-Show,
too. And he talks about guys who put duct tape on their shoes. He's that guy now.
He can't even afford duct tape.
No,
he's wearing Tevas sandals with socks.
Yeah.
And cargo shorts.
Yeah, I don't want to hear RJ Bell talking about any of my square picks for the rest
probably
of the season.
Probably a fanny pack.
Yeah, exactly.
He's wearing the Hawaiian shirt, the cargo shorts, the fanny pack, and the Tevas sandals with socks.
Freddy Fanny Pack, is that what he calls it?
Freddy Fanny Pack, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he is right now. 2-7.
That's
all on his own.
Well, no, see, all on his own. But this is because he's neurotic, and he thinks that people are actually listening to all his radio hits. So God forbid he gives us one pick he's going to use in the Super Contest.
Hmm. So he's just trying to throw all the other sharps off.
That's what he's trying to have you believe.
You go on the number one show in New York City, and they ask you for a pick, and you have to take five picks in your Super Contest. Like, you're going to make five picks. I mean, it's done. You have to, because you're in the Super Contest. You can't give one.
I think he's trying.
No, he's not trying.
I don't know how much he's
trying. You got to like five games. He's doing a Super Contest. It's got to be one out of the five that you like.
Right.
And or so even
tell
the second
us
one or third
game.
That you're going to take. At least
tell
one game
us
that
one
you're going to take.
Now, you always follow this closely. Did he do well in the Super Contest this week?
He did. Yeah, I think he was 3-2. Which isn't terrible.
No,
not
bad at all.
He took... Well, actually, I don't know now. No, he didn't do very well.
No, he didn't do very well.
Did you?
He took the Bills. He won the Bills.
And that was the game that he took with Chris, yes.
Yes.
What was the Lions? What was the Lions game?
The Lions got hammered by Minnesota, so that's a loss. That's 1-1.
That's a loss. He got the Panthers game right. He took the Panthers plus the 10.5.
So that's 2-1.
Yeah, he took Washington minus 2.5.
Mm.
So that's 2-2.
He took the Patriots minus. So he's 2-3. He took the Patriots minus.
2-3. So that's not good.
Yeah, but you could have given one of those. I mean, you could have given one of those.
Well, why, if he loves the Bills and he liked the Bills, why didn't you just give the K show the Bills, our show the Bills, and that's it, and be done with it.
And be done with it. Just to keep yourself respect at least.
I mean, now Michael's angry with him, and he's in love with Michael.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's... You think my relationship with Michael's weird. That's... I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, Mr. Michael K.
You notice that he stands up during his entire radio show to a podcast or whatever he does?
It's very strange.
Very strange. He stands up the entire time. Some kind of complex with him.
Yeah.
We got to get deeper into it.
He's an interesting guy.
Very interesting.
If he texts you, it vanishes.
Which I love.
24 hours later.
Yeah, but I love that.
No evidence.
That's crazy stuff.
I'm telling you, man. He thinks that people are spying on him, that you're going to, like, send his text messages to other people that are in the Super Contest.
Interesting guy.
He's crazy like that.
He'll join us tomorrow at 10 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN, and he'll be backtracking, I'm sure, the entire way. Michael K. Show's 2020 contest continues today at 3. This is not a contest, by the way. This is a giveaway. This is they are giving things away. The K. Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize the voice. Did you hear yesterday's, Rick? Rick? We lost Rick. He's speechless. Chris, did you happen to hear yesterday's 2020 for K?
I did not, Dave.
Okay. So they played. I'm gonna you know, remember the game Password? I'll just give you a little hint. Wheeling and dealing. Okay.
Okay.
So they
wheeling and dealing?
Wheeling and dealing, thriving and driving.
That's Clyde.
Right.
Yeah.
So they played Clyde, and Don was disgusted. He's like, come on. He's like, you gotta be kidding me. He's like, this is so easy. And it was. The first caller for the contest guesses Booger McFarland.
Booger McFarland. Okay.
I thought Don's head was going to explode. Booger McFarland, which was unbelievable. And I couldn't believe anybody got that wrong.
How in the world do you get Booger McFarland from Clyde Frazier?
I don't know. I don't know. Rick, you saw it and heard it yesterday, right?
I heard it, yeah.
Were you completely bothered that woman called with Booger McFarland?
A little bit. I mean, yeah. I mean, it was, of all the ones that they've done, that was probably the easiest.
They're all easy.
No, I know they're all easy, but I mean, that's the easiest one I think they've had so far.
It was unbelievable.
But I did like the fact that Don was, you're really looking for the reaction anyway.
Oh, Don was, he was so upset. And they're like, Don, are you going to rant? He's like, no, I'm not going to rant.
But that's what people were hoping for. Maybe she was doing it on purpose. Maybe she was trolling him. Maybe she was doing it on purpose.
But wouldn't you rather win the prize? I mean, make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Sonos Move portable Wi-Fi speaker. The contest 20 and 20 brought to you by PC Richard and Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand, and 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, come not on. To say the prizes aren't nice, but let's be honest. A Don LaGreca rant is a gift to the world.
But she didn't even get like, that.
That's a prize.
That is a prize.
That is a gift.
Ed Cranepool. Yeah, the Don rants really are second to none.
Yeah.
I get
less
angry
rants since he's had the kids. I guess they've mellowed him out.
You see this. When you have kids, you're much, like, everything kind of falls into order. Nothing is as important as it was, except for really close Giants losses. That becomes very frustrating still.
Which is amazing to me.
It really is, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, you should have seen what I used to be like.
No, I kind of saw it. I mean, I didn't get all of it. But I mean, the one day that you were in the city for something, and you were
I was doing ABC had the game Giants Lions, and I was doing a hit on TV right after the game.
Yeah, you actually had like a suit. You had your tie.
Yeah, well,
on.
I was going on television with
and Alan and I. Canty, Alan and I were in the studio. That's soundproof.
It's soundproof.
We had to kick him out. He was in the control room and he was screaming so loud we could hear him through the wall in the glass, and it was like almost picking up on our microphone, so we had to kick him out.
That's almost impossible to do, Rico.
That's what you would think. Until you let this savage animal watch a game in the studio.
Dave Rothenberg is one of a kind.
One of a kind.
He's one of a kind.
one of a kind.
There is nobody else out there like Rothy. No question about it.
But don't you like the fact that you have like you have access to that?
Yeah, it's special, Dave. It's special. Yeah, I thought you were a little weird when I first met you. You know, it's kind of strange a little bit how you came off. But, you know, after getting a chance
what
to
do you
know
mean? You, like, you helped the Giants win a Super Bowl. I was excited to meet you, and I walked up, and I was just very complimentary.
Yeah, but, I mean, think about it. It's got to be another level of weird to make a 6'8", 340-pound man feel uncomfortable. That's exactly
well,
how
we could
I
do that
was.
Right now. Dave, who do you think the hottest quarterback is?
Chris has checked out. That's the last conversation you want to have.
Oh, I love it.
God, let's go to Eli in Queens. Eli, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good morning, Eli.
Yeah,
how you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, I just want to talk about the Mets and the Yankees now. Listen, man, I'm thinking much more in the, you know, much more along in the future. The Mets are going to end up being better than the Yankees with this new owner because I'm a Yankee fan, and tell you the truth, I really don't. I'm starting to agree with Max Kellerman. I don't know if you ever.
Oh,
heard
don't,
him
do that.
Speak,
no, don't do that. Well, don't do that.
Yeah, but his
it's take, the last thing you want.
Well, his take on that. Brian Cashman is a good GM, but he's not the best.
Stop.
And
stop yourself. And stop yourself. Stop yourself. Stop. Hang up. Hang up the phone. Stop. Dave, hang up, please. I
don't have that control. Oh, this has got to be Santhi or Dinahan.
It's a ridiculous
I think they moved
take.
On from this guy, though.
Like, Max has had some doozies. That could be his worst ever. Brian Cashman is one of the best in all of sports at what he does.
I mean, you're in the playoffs every single
every
year.
Every single year.
And not only are you in the playoffs, there's a real chance. Like, I don't like the Yankees. And every single year, I have to have these moments of, oh, God, they're going to win this thing again. Like, there's never a year that I don't believe that they have a real chance to win the World Series. What more is it that you're looking for?
Yeah, Dave, but look at the terrible contract he signed Jacoby Ellsbury to.
Damn it, so what?
That was partly too. That was partly too to take him away from the Red Sox too. You figure you're going to get yourself. You're going to add strength to your team.
He's kidding,
also,
guys. I hope you guys didn't think I was being serious just
no,
now.
No, we knew you weren't.
Oh, okay, all right.
We know you weren't.
Okay, all right.
Just, I mean, he's great. We had a call before talking.
They're
about
not even Dave. When they rebuild on the fly, they're still better than 500.
They went to the ALCS when they were rebuilding.
It's unbelievable, man.
So stop it.
I mean, they traded away. And they win 84 games.
They were sellers a couple of years ago, and still were above 500.
They won 84 games, and then the year afterwards, they were in the ALCS. Ridiculous take. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The only Cashman move that I really wasn't on board with in the last few years was them letting Joe Girardi walk out of the door and going with Aaron Boone. Like to go with a novice in the middle of a championship window when there were clearly going to be expectations that were heightened because of your performance in 2017. That was the one thing that I wasn't necessarily on board with. But other than that, I mean, there's really not a move that I can say that, you know what, I think that was an awful move or a terrible miscalculation.
No.
You don't love that decision.
Awful moves.
You don't love that decision and you won until the pandemic season, you had won 203 games.
Yeah, but that's not how we judge the Yankees, though.
No, I know, but I mean, it's just listen, winning a championship is not easy.
Yeah,
I mean, the Dodgers, but if you consistently put yourself in position to compete for a championship, at a certain point, you know, things will line up and you'll find a way to get it done. Just like the Dodgers did the same thing this year.
But it's taken them a long time, and look how many heartbreaks they've had over the last decade.
That's a lot of heartbreaks.
I mean, they've had awful
But they've gotten to the World Series, though, Dave. How many decades can you count that the Yankees haven't gotten to the World Series?
Yeah.
Well, hadn't happened since the 1920s. So
I agree, but it's not like you don't have tremendous teams standing in your way. I mean, the Astros have been great, whether you think they're cheating or whatever. They've been great. The Red Sox were great. I mean, there have been real juggernauts standing in your way.
The Rays are a really good baseball team this year.
Really good team.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you want to say the Yankees underperformed this year, I think you could have that argument.
Sure, I would
but
agree
it's
with
not
that.
Like, it's not like they were the Mets. It's not like they didn't go to the postseason. I mean, you beat up on the best pitcher in baseball this year. And then you went five games with a team that almost won the World Series? There's no shame in that.
Also, look at the circumstances, too. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for the Yankees because I understand what the expectations are. But, I mean, again, they get into one of those situations because of injuries. when you get to the most important time of the season, you don't have everyone playing their best baseball. Like Aaron Judge was not playing his best baseball, and we know how important he is to that team. Your pitching staff was destroyed with injuries. Losing Severino, losing Paxton. I mean, those are big losses. Losing Tommy Canley. Those are huge losses. Huge losses. A lot of winning a championship, too, is which team stays the healthiest.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the Yankees over the last couple of years have been unable to do that.
What do you think the Yankees are going to do with Judge long term?
I think they'll keep him.
Hopefully, he gives you no choice.
I hope they keep him, but listening to Jeff Passan, it doesn't sound like it. I mean, the way he tells it, I mean, if they were going to sign him to a contract extension, they would have already done it by now, based on how they like to do business with their younger players.
So I didn't hear that the Passan hit yesterday. He basically made it sound like he thinks there's a better chance than not that they move on from Aaron Judge?
Yeah, because he was saying, you know, the last few years he hadn't been able to stay healthy, and you can attribute it to fluke injuries if you want to, but he was making the point that, you know, if the guy can't stay healthy, how can the Yankees feel comfortable making the kind of financial commitment that it would take in order to make Judge forego free agency in a couple of seasons?
It just gets more and more expensive.
I just get nervous with guys like that.
Yeah, but to Passan's point, it just gets more and more expensive. If you, I mean, in order to sign a team-friendly deal, you have to make a decision early on. Like, you're forecasting this guy's going to be one of your better players, so let's lock him up now because he's not making much money. So if we offer him, you know, $15 million a year, it seems like a humongous number.
Right, which they've done, right? Which they did with Hicks, which they did with Severino, which they'd like to be able to do.
Which they'd like to be able to do, but, I mean, to Passan's point.
Right. They haven't done it yet with him.
They haven't done it yet. So it's just going to
get nervous
with
guys
like
that. Because, I mean, you can argue that any given day he's a top three player in baseball.
Yes.
And to move on from a guy like that, if he realizes his potential elsewhere, it's just
awful. Yeah, but the problem with the Yankees, Dave, and it goes back to at the time, it seemed like, I guess for Brian Cashman, it was a no-brainer, although I didn't love the deal when they made it. I mean, in order to try to keep Aaron Judge as healthy as humanly possible, because he's such a good right fielder, you want to play him in right field, but you'd like to give him the opportunity to DH as much as possible, too, just to keep him healthy. You can't do that. You're not afforded that luxury now because you got Stanton, who is tied in as your DH for the next
year. No, you're locked
in.
You hate that trade.
We didn't like it when they made the trade.
No, because
Stanton had a hell of a postseason, though. He had a hell of a postseason.
He was great.
Financially, you don't have any financial flexibility if Hal continues to run the Yankees the way he runs the Yankees. And then, I mean, lineup day to day, there's no flexibility. He's your DH.
For years.
For the next 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's going absolutely nowhere. I can only hope that CMT will be at that same level.
I'm going to try.
I know you will. You want to tease us of what is involved with CMT today? Is it football? Is there baseball?
Mostly, I mean, it's Thursday.
Right.
Thursday night football tonight. So it's usually a football NFL style.
Is there a food
Good
CMT?
Man. Good man.
I could sprinkle two weeks from Thanksgiving, right?
I could always throw in food. Always.
Like a cornbread, a biscuit, a turkey. Like, I mean, is there something like that? I don't know.
I mean, that's interesting. Could do some start sprinkling some Thanksgiving.
I mean, it's 2 weeks from today.
I know.
Would I be wrong to request something other than turkey as the featured bird for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Is it wrong, though, Dave?
Now, not wrong to request something other than turkey as an addition, but as the feature. Yes, wrong.
Oh man, I'm not. Fried turkey is great. I love fried turkey. Okay, not a huge baked turkey guy, but the fried bird, I'm on board with. But when it comes to, I don't know, man. I like duck. I asked my girlfriend if she would be willing to do a duck for Thanksgiving, and she's on the fence about it right now.
No. See, I agree with both of you.
You do a turducken.
Oh,
I actually got a turducken when I played for the Cowboys. We played the Jets. Yeah.
Turkey, duck, and chicken.
Yeah. Let me guess, you guys won that game?
Nice, Dave.
I want to say it was like 34-3, Dave. Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Of course it was.
Awesome.
Of course it was.
You want your turkey to taste good? Play the Jets beforehand.
It's unbelievable. Jets. Doesn't stop.
Am I wrong?
No.
Oh, exactly.
That's what makes it so hard.
So, no, I think the duck is the secondary.
So, I'm not wrong for
bird.
Requesting the duck, Dave.
No. I think requesting the duck is fine. I think if you request the duck as the primary source of the bird, that's a mistake.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it just the two of you, or is this a bigger Thanksgiving?
No, we're having a small gathering. It's going to be eight people.
So I would think some, if not most, if not all of the other six are going to want a turkey involved.
So I can let them focus on the fried turkey.
Yeah.
And I can devote my attention to the duck.
Totally.
Okay.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with wanting duck. I think there needs to be turkey. Rick, am I wrong?
Well, I think for, I mean, if it's just you and her and she's okay with not having turkey, then you can go just strictly duck. But if there's other people coming, the expectation is it will be a turkey.
See, the only thing that I can say as a positive for having the turkey is there will be leftovers, and I can make that after Thanksgiving Day sandwich with the cranberry sauce in there, delicious, a little bit of stuffing, put the turkey on there, boom. Got lunch.
And you can fall right asleep this Thanksgiving because you get Dallas and Washington at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, you don't even got to pay any attention to that one.
You can doze right through that one.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's bring him in. The great, the talented, the uplifting Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. How are you boys today?
We're doing good.
You know, it's Thursday, Dave. What does
college
that mean?
College football. I know what it means, Andy. College football.
What's up, Longhorn Nation? I'm still in Dallas. Can you guys tell me the name of the live mascot for the University of Texas?
Bevo?
Bevo.
Bevo is correct. Give him a bell. Thank you. This head coach has the most wins in University of Texas school history. So much so, they named the stadium after him.
Is it Darryl Royal?
Darryl K. Royal is correct. The program has retired 6 jerseys in college Texas football history. Can you name 4 of them?
Earl Campbell.
1.
Bobby Lane.
2.
I think Colt McCoy is retired for some reason.
New York Giant Colt McCoy is retired. One more, boys.
Is Ricky Williams retired?
Yes. You want to keep going? You already won the round.
Let's move on. I think Vince Young.
Who? Vince Young? Yes.
And I don't know that I know.
I'll give you the last one. Tommy Nobis.
Yeah, I did not know.
Great linebacker.
Tommy, nobody cares. Let's go.
Hey, they're rocking the orange down here, Rick. It warms my heart to see orange. Mets, Islanders, don't be knocking.
I almost moved down there. I actually almost moved to Austin.
Beautiful city.
Beautiful town.
Great barbecue. All right, let's finish it up. There are 3 Longhorns that have been taken number 1 overall in the history of the NFL draft. Can you name 2 of them?
Number one overall picks.
Vince Young did not go 1.
No, he went three. He went 3.
Number one picks.
And Ricky Williams went 2, didn't he?
Ricky Williams went 5.
He went 5 and they traded the
Edge
draft.
Edge went
4. Right?
Ricky Williams went 5. No one overall pick. Earl Campbell. Oh.
Earl Campbell, 1978.
Where did Kenny Sims on the Patriots go?
1982.
Number one overall
pick, Kenny Sims.
I am the smartest man alive!
We'll throw in Tommy Nobis again.
Tommy Nobis is the thorn in our sides.
Before I give you my signature sign-off, I just want to mention today is Russell Westbrook's 32nd birthday.
Look at the tease. Now he's making teases.
This is what he does.
Sound effects, teases.
Andy, you want a show?
Fellas, let's be careful out there. Let's stay healthy, boys.
The most well-rounded gimp in the country.
He's terrific.
No, he's the best.
He really is. Do you not believe that Andy could absolutely host a show?
Yes. Not to the level of Dave Rothenberg.
No. I'm not comparing to anyone at the stand. I'm just saying, like I think if he hosted a show, it would be entertaining for 2 hours.
100% agree.
No, you would know. You spend the most time. He lives in your basement. I mean, you spend the most time with him.
That's right. I know it.
He's great at what he. Although this could be a situation. I mean, this could be a Taysom Hill.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.